Alright, how you doing, everybody? This is Matt.
And Alex.
And we are here from Cursed Eye Studios to talk about our favorite classes.
Yes.
I'm assuming across different games.
Okay.
Just favorite classes. Just to begin with.
Fair enough.
So I got one from Shadowrun and I got one from D&D.
Okay, I've got two from D&D.
Yeah, well, I mean, which is fair, considering a majority of your gaming has been with D&D.
True.
Across a couple different...
Plus, mine is kind of the same across all games.
Yeah.
It's just that the mechanics I truly enjoy from D&D.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can pick and choose Wizard from any...
Oh, thanks for outing me, but yes, Wizard is my favorite class.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. People who are listening to this will come to know that.
All too quickly.
I'm sure you're going to end up repeating yourself about that so many times. With good reason, because, I mean, most of the time you have something new to add to the reasoning, so it's fair.
And what are yours here?
Alright, so mine, I got Sorcerer from D&D 5e. Specifically a Wild Magic Sorcerer. Just because I love the aspect of putting randomness into the game out of the player's hands.
Okay.
Just leaving it entirely up to the dice is an awesome idea for me, because I love the complete and total random element that nobody can plan for.
So the mechanic of that, isn't it like you roll a crit one, and then you have to go to the table?
It is whenever you cast a spell above, first level or above, the DM can have you roll on the table.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And then there's a few other reasonings for it. I love it. I love that. Plus, there's a couple other awesome abilities that they get where they can just give themselves advantage once short rest or longer.
Okay.
So, I mean, you combine that with Rogue, Sneak Attack, whenever.
Yeah, definitely. Actually,
yeah. whenever you want. But that's not necessarily my reason for them being the favorite. The reason that they're my favorite, in D&D 5e at least, is the fluff that goes with it. Being that they are these people who, at least by raw, they're these people who have found power within themselves through any number of reasons that you come up for your backstory. But the power was in them all along. And for Wild Magic, I like to flavor it as let's say you're a random farmer guy who suddenly realizes that he has the power to control magic. You're not going to know how to do that.
Oh, no.
Especially if you end up being one of the like more powerful kind of people, which if you're a player character, you probably are, then you're not going to know how to control all of your power. You're not going to know what to do with it. So when you're trying to cast a fireball, or trying to charm person, or cast shield even, you might know how to get the base level out of it, but what else is going to happen?
Yeah. And that's like, I like that in the lore for the sorcerer, how their powers always manifest at like a point where it's a stressful situation.
Yeah.
It's something, it's always a surprise. And it's like the 10-year-old kid who discovers his power because he set the house cat on fire.
Yeah. Scratched him one too many times. The cat was just a jerk way too much.
Right? You know, or his parents keep on telling him, take out the trash, take out the trash. And he's fine, I'll take out the trash. And then the trash barrel flies out the window.
Trash is outside. Are you happy now? Also,
what?
Yeah, no. I love it. I love it. Personally, that and it also speaks to me on a level, because when I play games, not even just tabletop, but video games, tabletop games, board games, whatever, I like to be in one of two places. I like being the frontline guy, the guy holding the flag, doesn't really have a whole lot other to do than to be seen holding the flag, just running straight forward, or be on the far back line as the artillery.
I could see that.
I like being in one of either two places. They're both most exciting to me. The artillery is definitely present with sorcerers, in that they have so much versatility with meta magic, sorcery points, all just so much crazy stuff that they can do. Quicken spell, they can control the magic so that way it only hits people that they want it to hit.
Meta magics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the amount and the different spells that they have available to them is awesome, if you ask me.
Yeah, they definitely have an elemental feel to their magic, too.
Oh, yeah. Wizards tend to have access to more utility spells. They're the Swiss Army knife.
Which is one of the points that I really like about the wizard.
Yeah. I like to be much more focused with my builds. Like, I'm going to blast it until it stops moving. Or that castle over there, give me like 5 minutes and there won't be a castle anymore. Just the blaster kind of feeling.
Okay.
I like the power play with that. So I really only ever play a sorcerer in very combat heavy games. Or games where I can play with the meta magic on different, on a different class's spell list, like throwing meta magic onto a bard.
Okay.
I feel like would be pretty cool, because expanding healing word or putting range onto a cure wounds for a bard. Or augmenting, lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Would be another good one.
And like, most of those points you made, like, my favorite class above all to play in any game is the magic user, the spellcaster.
Just in general.
Any game, if it's like, hey, you'd really love this game. Does it have spellcasters? Oh, no. Probably not going to be my favorite game then. For me, I love
playing. How many times have you said that to me?
Every time you have offered a game to me. Can I use magic? Yes or no?
Or something like magic?
Yeah.
And then I try to twist some technology, something, to be magic.
And not every game I play has to have spellcasters. It's just the ones that I enjoy the most.
Yeah.
But with that, like, I really do enjoy playing spellcaster, specifically a wizard in D&D, for the reasons of having all the utilities. They get the widest range of spells. They can pretty much do whatever they want and bend reality the way they want to. Now, don't get me wrong, you can play a, like, super blaster caster heavy wizard. Definitely. Where it's like, I'm just going to raise that castle.
Yeah.
And
castle's gone.
There's nothing anyone can do about it. They just don't have a lot of constitution to them. They're very swishy.
Yeah.
They're very strong. You just can't let anyone touch them. Right. Which is kind of like what I enjoy about playing them, is when you have a DM who's constantly pushing them, you know, other villains and NPCs towards you. It's kind of how to slow them down, stop them from getting to you, while also doing your thing.
Yeah, it's a very, when the minis are on the map, it's a very tactical sense of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
One of our favorite phrases from Shadowrun, Geek the Mage,
yep,
is probably a really good way, or a really good like saying to have if you are a bad guy's henchman.
Oh yeah,
it's always the mage that takes out a majority of your forces when push comes to shove.
And that actually, I counter that with a saying from, I think it was Final Fantasy 14, with the, they had all the, I can't remember what they're called, their halfling race.
Oh, the Lalafell.
The Lalafell, when you go to, like, to learn Thaumaturgy, it's these Lalafell brothers in that game that teach you it.
Yeah.
And when you listen to what they're saying, there's one point where they're like, a close mage is a dead mage.
Yeah.
So, like, I've kept that as, like, my main ideal playing the game. Is I'm not going to be near the enemy. I'm going to keep that distance constantly.
If I can throw a rock at you, you are too close.
Exactly. So, I enjoy that with them. And specifically, I really enjoy being the problem solver. It's really fun. Definitely. Like, combat's great, and I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed with dropping a fireball and wiping out half of the enemy.
It's hard.
That's really fun. It's great. And I do enjoy that.
So many dice.
It's great. It feels good. I enjoy it. Like, I really enjoy doing that. But where I really get my kicks is where we come up to a door that's jammed or locked and the fighter can't break it down because they've gone at it like 2 times now. They can't roll high enough to break it. So instead, I pour out water into the lock and then cast, chilling something. Something that freezes the water.
Yeah.
And then it pops the lock. And I just push it open. You know, coming up with, like, ways to use the spells, not exactly how they're intended, or doing them in a way that makes sense that it would do something, even though it's not written down on the spell's description, that's where I get my kicks. Yeah. I really enjoy the problem
solving. Put just a little bit of science in, trying to justify what there is.
Like, I'll be able to play my ideal wizard character the day that we get a group going where we have 4 to 5 players.
Oh, definitely.
Because then I don't have to worry about combat. I can be that charismatic, know-it-all wizard who just, he contributes to the battle by making everything easier for them, but does all the other stuff, does all the utility.
Yeah. That's one of the problems with having a smaller group, is that the enemies have fewer things to target.
And you usually have to wear a lot of hats.
Exactly. It's like, right now, my warlock, Darren, really shouldn't be on the front lines if he's the main person being looked at. And it's Darren, and he's a blade lock. So he should be up there in the front lines.
Well, he should be a mid-range skirmisher. He should be in and out.
Exactly. And I try to play him that way. Problem being is how many combats really involve one bad guy?
Not a lot. Realistically,
they're not going to come at you if there's only one of them. They're going
to... Well,
nine times out of ten.
If there is that one guy that comes at you guys, you should be more worried.
Exactly. He knows something that we don't.
And he's not worried at
exactly.
all how many there are of you.
Exactly. It's like, it's Darren with a paladin.
Yeah.
So, it's... Normally that would work, but it's just... There's not enough targets for the enemies. For that to, for him to really be able to dip in at, and dip out. All right, so you got wizard. I got sorcerer. So my next class that I really like is, I actually went outside of D&D.
Okay.
Because I feel like I would lose some credibility if I didn't. And it's not really a class so much as an archetype or concept from Shadowrun.
Okay.
Which is the physical adept. Or not necessarily physical adept, because you can have adepts of all kinds. It's part of the freeform system that there is in Shadowrun, which is honestly kind of confusing when you first start up. Mm-hmm. But I love the adept magic system, where they use their ability to tap into the different kinds of mana weaves and the magic that they hold within themselves to augment their own body. Because I've always loved augmentation to the human body in all different kinds of fiction.
Okay.
And, again, playing off of the concept of the power was in you all along.
Okay. It sounds like a lot like Monk.
Yeah, you play them a lot like monks if you're going for the physical adept.
Yeah.
And that's the way a lot of people go with it. And, honestly, that is an extremely powerful way to go about it. One of the characters that you met in my Shadowrun game, Benny.
Yeah.
Was...
A powerhouse?
He was insane. He was insane. And I was just building him up like I was going to play him. And I didn't realize how strong he was until I rolled damage against... I was going to roll damage against either you or the other guy or something else.
Like I said, a close mage is a dead mage. I never got close to him.
Yeah, no, like, I think Benny could have killed you in one hit. Just outright. Just,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just bop you on the head and you're out.
To be fair, I loosened the jar at the beginning of that fight.
You did. You... Oh, yeah.
I did more damage to myself than anyone else did in that session.
Yeah. Oh, God. Bringing back memories of that. But adepts... and I'm going to be talking mainly about the physical adepts here, because those are my personal favorite.
Okay.
They represent the other side of the spectrum that I was talking about earlier with... I like to be in back artillery, or I like to be up front and in your face.
Yeah.
And adepts are just built to be tanks. They're built to be tanks. Slap some armor on them, get them some brass knuckles, and they're the scariest thing on the battlefield. With the amount of powers that they get, which mostly include them being able to like walk on walls, them augmenting their unarmed damage or damage that they do with melee weapons. So you're maybe 6 seconds into a fight and they're acting like Spider-Man, jumping off walls and all that.
Yeah, and looking at
throwing cars.
They look like they really climb the power scale quickly.
Oh, yeah.
But then they, like, kind of level off.
Oh, yeah.
And let the other classes catch up to them.
Oh, yeah. Because unless you're getting into different kinds of initiation where you're increasing your magic stat to get more power points, to get more powers, they really kind of plateau. They start off really strong compared to some of the other kinds of characters, especially when those characters all start off at level 1 or... base level for Shadowrun.
Yeah.
Where you got the mage, who's going to have whatever spells that they started off with. You have the street samurai, who's going to have all of their shiny new toys. But then you have the adept, who can kill a man with one punch.
Yeah.
And then that starts to... The power difference, the differential, starts to taper off once the other characters start getting levels, and the... All of the magic powers and whatnot of the adepts stay mostly the same. Haven't played around with them too much, but I love them.
Yeah, we need to get back into it. It's something we need to play.
Oh, definitely.
I really enjoyed it, and the first time I played, I really did not know what I was doing at all. None of us did.
Yeah, at all.
So, right down to character creation, I would do it almost 100% differently.
Oh, yeah. No, just looking back.
Just looking back at it and how much trouble and confusion we had and looking at how things kind of play.
Yeah.
I definitely would love to just rebuild the character and do it differently and do it better.
Oh, yeah. And especially considering the fact that when it comes, one of the biggest differences from Shadowrun to a game like D&D is character creation.
Yeah.
Whereas D&D, you can whip up a character in 5 minutes. But level one, 30 seconds, realistically.
Oh, definitely. I think it just comes with the experience of the game, though.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah, definitely.
For a new player to say, hey, I want to play a character, like, I want to play Johnny Depp's character from Pirates of the Caribbean. I want to be Captain Jack. And all right. Give me 2 seconds. Do you want to be more swashbuckly, or do you want to be more on his charisma end? Or do you want to mix them both?
Yeah.
That's all I need to know from you, and you'll have a character in 2 minutes, and the next 3 levels are plotted out.
Yeah. And it would just be so simple. And then you look at Shadowrun, where you are sitting down and dedicating a good amount of time to that. Especially comparative.
Minimal of 3 hours.
Yeah.
To go through everything, to plan out some things.
I mean, short of Shadowrun is what you play. Like, that is your game. You're going to need to go back and look at all of the weapons and or spells or both or and cybernetics, your lifestyle, stuff like that, if your GM wants that. And then you can get into the other books, which just gets mind-boggling.
That's the other thing. We took all that time, all that work into building characters. We looked at one book. Just the main book.
And then I come in the next day like, hey guys, check out these other 27 books.
Yeah, and I mean, you only trusted me to look at some of those books.
Yeah, no, I gave you one book that was like, here's expanding on your stuff a little bit. It ended up being the small book. No, you looked at the other two books yourself. I didn't give you those. And then we had our other player who I did not trust with getting other books at all, because he was already trying to sneak stuff by me.
Barely trusted him with the core rule book.
I sat down with him in my house and helped him make his character so he could do it in front of me and ask me questions while I was there.
Took no notes.
He rebuilt it, and then on the first day of playing, he forgot his character sheet at home. So
that is the biggest sin
it
in
really
any role-playing
is.
Game.
Like, you're coming over to play a tabletop role-playing game. What is the one thing you need as a player above everything else?
Character sheet.
Is your character sheet. Everything else is easily provided.
You can be a dice toucher. You can touch other people's dice and use theirs.
It's,
you know, most people, like us,
just
have multiple sets.
Yeah, just gotta pay the $10 tax. That's it.
Yeah. You're buying pizza tonight.
Yeah, like, you forgot all of the other stuff, but you have a character sheet. You're ready to play. It's like, all right, I'll bring the drinks. I'll bring the snacks. Like, whatever, something.
Yeah.
It's easily made up for.
For me, like, when I run a game, I almost prefer it when, if everyone's using paper in the first place, let's throw it all in a binder and leave it here.
Yeah, no, it's always a good idea.
If you don't mind leaving your dice here, leave your dice here. I don't want to have to worry about missing anything and stopping the game flow.
Exactly.
It's
why you have your giant jar of dice somewhere.
Yes, I have like a pound of dice in a big salsa jar, and they all smell like salsa now.
There are worse things to smell like.
Honestly, I like it. It's the salsa dice. That's your punishment for.
Yeah,
that's your punishment. It's like going to school and you're not meeting the dress code, so they put some like old sweaty like gym sweater on you.
The communal, terrible. What's it called? Sweatshirt.
The lost and found sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Like, that's what those dice are. Remember to bring your dice, or your fingers are gonna smell like salsa.
I'm gonna have to free up my dice more. Anyways, I love the Adept because they are get in your face, they can do good amounts of damage, and just the way that you can flavor their abilities.
Yeah.
And it, even though it's the complete opposite end of the Sorcerer.
I can see that, yeah. And my other one, basically your character's playing, is a Warlock.
Yeah.
I was really excited when you picked a Fae-bound Warlock. Because all right. I love the Warlock pact of the Fae, and it is another spellcaster. And essentially, like, my favorite class is Spellcaster. But the Warlock is such a different, like, flavor It's such a different lore to it.
The mechanics are also very different than a wizard.
What I like about it is that it is the fast-paced, balls through the walls. This is a character that is, I'm going to just blow my entire load in this fight, and then I need like an hour, and then I'm ready to go again.
Give me an hour and a sandwich and like...
Exactly.
In a quiet corner. I'll be happy.
Like, I really love that. I love the dynamic, the roleplay dynamic between yourself and your patron. Is really awesome, especially with a DM that really likes to accentuate that and make a point to have the patron pop up a lot. I really love that.
Oh yeah.
So if you were to play the the old ones bound?
I was so close with Darren. It's going for the old ones.
It's cool, but those are like the Cthulhu mythos kind of
the unknowable patrons. Horrors. Come on, man.
But they're so detached. They don't ask of the player very much. Or I feel like they wouldn't too much.
Yes, they can.
Can they?
Spread the yellow sign, man. Oh, have you seen the yellow sign?
Yes, I've seen that. So no. But I think that's more of a...
Spread madness.
That's very much almost a niche. In a niche. For really? That kind of, for me, I've spread across fantasy. I've listened to maybe two Cthulhu games. But... I don't know. I never read the books or any of the short stories. So for me, I feel like it's just not enough people know about it. Like, I myself don't know much about it.
I feel like if you want to get into the Cthulhu mythos, and this is just my personal take on it.
Okay.
Is to read all of the things that are set within the Cthulhu mythos that Lovecraft didn't write.
I've heard that.
It's because he has a very specific style of writing. And so I feel like any kind of horribleness is a product of his times from memory.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out. This is from memory of not having read any of his books for a while.
Like I said, I haven't read any of his books.
Oh, yeah. But if you do want to get into it, I would start off with everything that wasn't written by him. Just because the way that he writes can be off-putting in the sense that it's not easy to read. It's kind of like trying to read Tolkien.
Okay.
Tolkien writes like a historian. And focuses on the cars that are going by on the street outside the window.
I man.
Anyways, Tolkien writes like a historian.
Yeah.
And doesn't really focus too much on developing the characters as much as he does developing the world. Which isn't
fair.
Awful. But for something like Lord of the Rings, I want to know about the characters. I want to know what struggles they're going through and all that stuff more than I want to know about what's going on in the outside world.
He did do a fair amount of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
just not as much as I'd like to see.
Yeah, and he just put focus in a different place, in a place that's a little bit harder to get to. And the same kind of goes for Lovecraft.
Okay.
Which, bringing this back to our game, you want to see somebody play an old one warlock. Give me an old one warlock.
It's not so much that. But what that stemmed from is, like, I like to see the patron getting involved.
Oh, yeah.
I like to see the patron putting pressure.
I'll start Colts in Fallholt and Barnstow.
I mean, it's possible.
Let me do it.
No. But
I will tear this down.
I don't know, but not about that. But I like to see the involvement, and I think that the Infernal and the Fae patrons really get to see those patrons get involved. And it's up to the DM and how much involvement there is. So I guess the old ones there could be. But when I think the old ones, I just think of that, like, that being that is so transcended beyond that it doesn't even notice it's giving you power. There is no personification of it in my head. It's just, it is like almost more of a, the patron is madness. But there is no person who is mad. It's the concept.
Right. And what do you do when a concept is what is giving you power?
See,
you try to make more of the concept.
I guess.
The concept drives its own propagation.
But I think that becomes more player-driven than it becomes, like, the DM giving incentive. Because if an Infernal patron says, hey, I know you want to level up, you know, adds a meta to this. Say if I was the DM and I was going to go, okay, we're doing, you know, I always do milestone level ups. Everyone is now level 6. Matt, here's a dagger. You want to be level 6 as well? I need 5 souls. Particular souls. Not just your common rabble. Go do it.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess. Hey, we're gonna go off into the desert where it's all. I know, guys. I need souls. We need to go to the city.
I'll catch up.
I think we should all go to the city. Because are you gonna tell them what you're doing?
Yeah. No, exactly.
And are you gonna take yourself out of the game? No.
That's gonna be fun with a lawful good paladin.
I've already kind of broke her a little bit.
A little bit. I don't know if she realizes that. I think she might need a push from her deity.
So
to be like, hey, what are you doing? What's going on over here? Is her deity lawful good?
I think she's neutral.
Okay.
So
that gives a little bit more leeway, but
and her deity did put her on kind of the path she's going, and you're kind of in that path.
Yeah.
So it was a necessary evil, and I guess for the listeners to know what we're talking about.
Sure, yeah.
I think it was on our Twitter, we were talking about, I think I wrote it in my voice, so I said, hey, the players are going to be at a, you know, an Arc Fae. What would you do to become a warlock? You know, what would you offer? What would you deal with? And the players, you guys met Baba Yaga.
Yeah.
Which is a legendary Arc Fae hag. And you were having this issue where you had a slod tadpole in you.
Yep.
You came right down to the wire of like a day left to live when you got back to her. And what she needed from you was one of several things, and you brought her two of them. Right. One being a daughter, a newborn baby girl. She was orphaned, to be fair.
Yeah.
You guys kind of like participated in the house blowing up.
I mean, people don't need to know that part.
Well, they kind of.
I mean,
do.
Darren's a good guy. Let's just point this out.
Mostly, so
Darren's a good guy. He is just trying to. He really just wants to know what's going on.
Yeah.
At this point, so he can actually make the decision of, do I want to be involved in this or not?
So in D&D lore, hags, the way that they make more hags, is that a hag will consume a baby girl, and she'll become pregnant with the girl. She'll later give birth to it again, and either raise her or let her be risen by
whoever,
normal humans or whatever. And when she comes of age, her hag powers will basically turn on. She'll come into herself. So that's what Baba Yaga wanted. You and the paladin for answers, and for the paladin, she needed answers to find her brother. Her patron set her on this mission to find her twin brother, which I love that she wrote all that in for her character background.
Yeah.
And it just fit so well that she had added attachments to the Fae because you're Fae-bound. So I was really able to put you guys together in a way that, as players and as characters, you don't turn to each other and say, why are we adventuring?
Oh, yeah, why are we together? There always needs to be that reason.
And you guys just really made it easy for me to connect you guys, which was great. So good. But that happens, and that's in question of, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? We just kind of brought another hag into the world and sentenced this girl to being a hag.
Darren doesn't really mind.
You needed to save your life. I think you would have sacrificed an entire city.
Yeah, I'd be like, they're over here.
To save your life.
I tried to avoid doing that, and I was just like, well, I mean, if it's coming to this, apparently.
Yeah.
This is what it's come to. Gotta do it.
Another day, and there would have been a really big slod of immense power.
Oh, yeah. No, it wouldn't be great.
There would have been a green slod, and the NPC child and the paladin would have not been able to stand up to that. That is way too high level. I mean, and you would have been dead immediately.
Let's be fair. Green Slot came out, that town that we killed the
mayor, they'd be an infestation.
Would be gone.
Yeah, they would
gone.
There'd be a new campaign starting. And the big problem is
slots.
Slots. Everywhere. All slots. And we're starting at level 10 because there's no other way.
Yeah.
They are really that bad.
Oh yeah. No, they're terrible.
Terrible. They're like the way you'd think of like a feral vampire infestation would be.
Yeah.
They feel a lot like Alien.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the chest burster and all that.
Definitely. God, what came first? Aliens or slots? No, but like, seriously though, in terms of like fiction, what came first?
You know?
We'll have to look that up after.
Yeah, I would almost say slots.
Because I feel like which one took inspiration from what? It like, quote unquote, which one took inspiration from which? Because I know H.R. Geiger was Aliens, and that was just...
Yeah.
That's just H.R. Geiger's way.
I mean, it's not hard to believe, though, because Dungeons & Dragons has really motivated and inspired so
Countless.
Many people and Countless. So many projects. But, yeah, so I really love the Warlock for that amount of roleplay that you can put into the game with them. Having the patron getting involved, I really love the patron getting involved.
Oh, yeah. Heavily. It's built in fluff.
It's great.
It's built in flavor.
I feel like it's the DM's best friend when it comes to, like, roleplay.
It really lets a DM get super involved with at least one player, and especially if that player, just like in my case,
yeah,
is the face of the party.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm the one that always has the ideas.
That, and if
no
I
No matter
ever...
how much I try to get other people to have the ideas.
Well, you know. But what's great about it is if I ever need you guys to go left instead of right, I've got a direct line without meta to give you incentive to go one way. Or if I really want you guys to not go somewhere, I have incentive to make you guys whichever way I want you to go.
Oh, yeah.
Which feels great as a DM to have that mechanically built in and not just character choice and character decisions.
Yeah, the players are always their own worst enemy.
Definitely. And when I say, oh, something's going to happen because of that crit one, you guys come up with something that's way worse than what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always in that passing, like, oh, what's the wall's going to fall on me? It's like,
Well, now that you mention it.
Actually, that's better than what I had planned. So, yeah, the wall falls on you. And
or it's like the situation they see at least once in every game where the players are like, oh, is this going to be behind this door? Is behind this door going to be like a manticore or a chimera? And the DM's just like, yeah.
Yep. Yes, there is.
Pause included. Like, well, there wasn't, but now there is.
But now that you mention it.
You know what sounds like a great idea? A zombie owlbear.
Honestly, though, that was a great idea.
Oh, yeah, no, I thought it was awesome. I loved that whole situation. Like, if I were to play it back,
yeah,
without, like, the table talk, I love that situation.
That was a great situation, and again, that certain player who just couldn't appreciate how cool of a moment it was.
Yeah, he needed his kind of cool.
So, again, we're kind of getting, like, leaving everyone out of this.
Oh, yeah.
But previous game, Paladin turns and faces a bull-rushing zombie owlbear. So this giant undead beast comes barreling at him. He drops his sword and, like, headlocks it. Just takes the bull by the horns and stops it dead in its tracks.
Level two.
Level two. Just rolls high enough to stop this thing dead in its tracks.
I think it was like a 19 and then a 20.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
It was like disadvantage, and he still got really high rolls, and
he tries to smite it.
Yeah, he was disappointed that he couldn't then attack it as well because he dropped his sword.
No, he could attack it. He could punch it.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean.
But he couldn't smite it because he didn't have a weapon. And then he, like, tries, like, can I use my shield as a weapon, other stuff, and it's like, no.
Well, yes.
You just took your action to headlock a charging owlbear. And then everybody just ran in, started beating the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And then that was day saved.
If that was a scene in a movie, you would have been like, oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Being in the situation and just not appreciating it happening, though, man, come on.
Yeah.
That's cool. That, like, you couldn't physically stop me if I ran at you. Imagine what your character just did. He just stopped a bus.
Yeah, right?
That's cool.
Your guy just hulked out for a second.
Yeah.
Take a second to appreciate that.
You know, it's actually funny. I guess we're going to keep on diverging a little bit. Is
because you still got a class that you have to mention. Talk about why.
I have an honorable mention. I talk about Warlock. But I don't like how a lot of players are so desensitized by video games, by media, by movies, TV shows, everything, that they lose the wanderlust to what their character is doing.
Okay.
Like it's like the owlbear thing. I just stopped an owlbear, or that post combat, like how, like, no one ever role plays the stopping, going, that was crazy.
What the hell just happened?
Beyond, like, a story decision, the fact that, like, hey, we just stopped, like, a wyrmling, a small dragon.
Yeah.
What
would have happened if we weren't here?
Yeah, like, what if we didn't stop it? What kind of damage would have done? First off, we stopped it.
Yeah.
That alone. That was a huge, hard battle. And everyone kind of just like, oh, time to loot and walk away all jauntily. It's like, no, you guys are hurting right now. You guys got to think about how, or aberrations. What if a beholder came up? People more scared about the stats of this monster than the description of this monster.
Oh, yeah.
That's not normal. Like, I think what I need to do is put more bystanders into combat somehow.
Okay.
More commoners just that first one or two rounds.
Just them, people screaming.
Of them screaming, getting taken out, and trying to get out of there. Because there's got to be some way to...
Play up the apocalypse level of the scenario. Yeah.
There needs to be some kind of appreciation for how crazy of a situation you're in. Like, because people take being an adventurer, like being an accountant. Yep, off to work today, and I'm going to kill and slice some monsters.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, like, there's a time and a place for that. And that time and place is level 17.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But at that point, you're fighting, like, large-scale, world-ending stuff.
You get a group of, like, five or six level 17 people, and they come up and see a beholder, and they're just like, you are...
Yeah.
I've killed a colony of you. Like, what do you want? Like, one of the... going based on that, one of the really terrible, just horrible creatures that I loved, and you guys in my pirate campaign were about to start hearing about, aboleths.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you want to talk about creatures that once ruled the world and are occasionally found in the deepest parts of the deepest parts. Just resurfacing and just built-in telepathy and machinations, pulling things into water, I love them.
Yeah.
I love them. And they're connivers. And they are super, super salty that the world isn't covered in water anymore.
Yeah.
They are super salty about it. That's why the ocean's salty. Because of all of the crying aboleths over that they can't have their world anymore. And they're going to take it out on the next dude who is walking by that ocean.
Okay. How about, you don't see it enough, I think. And there are some DMs that do it really well. I don't do it enough myself, is putting environmental problems. Where in this combat, the most dangerous thing is not that bandit captain and his crew. It's the earthquake we're in right now. It's the room falling apart around us. The environmental factor, that like something that you can't defeat. You just have to survive.
Yeah. It's not the necromancers and their cronies. It's the fact that you just use a scroll that you didn't know what it was. You knew it had something to do with fire, and you accidentally set the city on fire. Whoops.
Yeah. Been there, huh?
Yeah, no, it speaks to me right here. And then you go and you save a child in a burning building.
Yep.
Because you're cool like that.
Well, you get it.
I really hope that that kid remembers me. And the next time I'm in that city, it's like, hey, I know you.
That might happen.
You saved my baby. Because I didn't need to do that.
Well.
I didn't need to do that.
No. You could have ignored it.
I could have. But, like, there's certain things that even, like, a heartless can't ignore. And a screaming child in a burning building is one of those things.
Yeah.
you can't walk away from that.
No. I think you have some moral obligation. Even as a neutral.
Yeah, right?
You know, that's one of those decisions you kind of have to... All right, I'm going back.
Yeah, I did that. All right.
Yeah, I'll clean up my mess and my mistakes.
All right.
Honorable mentions?
Sure, we can do that quick.
Yeah.
So why don't you start with your honorable mention?
Rogue? I really like playing rogues. I like to mix rogue with warlock.
I like rogues mixed with X.
They're great. And even if you just play a flat rogue... whatever you choose. I prefer either Rogue Arcane Trickster or Mastermind. I have this build I want to play that is a Drow Rogue Mastermind and then mix in Warlock.
Okay.
And I feel like it's a really, really interesting roleplay. I think the roleplay for it, the story kind of came up with the character, really draws me to it. And then having this character that's just, again, not the upfront... Because my anti-character, my least favorite, is your vanilla human fighter.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just not a fan of... And plenty of people love it, and they get their rush out of it. You're rolling a ton of dice, and it's really fun. But I'm just not happy with just swinging a sword.
I like playing fighters. I think fighters are cool.
Yeah, no, they're...
Especially when you're playing the fighter who can't have enough weapons, and then uses them.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk to your DM about getting some form of quiver of holding for different weapons that let you take out a new weapon as a bonus action, or something like that. And then you're fighting with a rapier at one point, and then boom, battle axe.
Okay. Warlock, Pact of the Blade.
Oh, yeah. No, but...
you know?
But 5 attacks per round.
Yeah, well, that's true. I'll give
plus
that.
Action Surge, not being used for more attacks, but being used to do that extra thing that somebody always wants to do on their turn, but they can't because that would take another action. So, one action to make just this whirlwind of nonsense that is attacks.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see anybody swing something 5 times in 6 seconds, run 50 feet in one direction, and then drink a potion. Like, I want to see that.
Absolute blur.
Like, you're the Flash. Let's be real. But activating a lever, finishing that last piece of the puzzle while fending off the iron golem that was summoned to protect whatever.
They're necessary.
Oh, yeah. Just, they're the do-something person. They're the person with the boots on the ground to go do it. Which, like, I have a special place for fighters, especially the Battle Masters.
Okay,
where they have all the different kinds of attacks that they can do.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I love that. Because then that is mixing the damage output of a fighter with some controlling aspects.
Okay.
Tripping people up, knocking people prone, hitting more than one person. I love it all. I love all of that. But my honorable mention isn't even a fighter.
Okay.
It is the bard.
I figured. You lived as a bard.
I did. So that, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
I love being the loud, the noticed, the one... I love being the distraction.
I think as people, you and I both gravitate towards the charisma stat.
Oh, yeah. I like to think.
Without a doubt. I agree with that. I would like to play a bard at some point. It's on my list. It's hard to break myself away from, like, the wizard class or the warlock class.
Yeah.
Because I just enjoy that magic. Like, just what I really enjoy. But even with that,
now have your magic be your charisma.
Right? Or even, I would like to play a monk. I think that it's a place of magic that I haven't really explored, where you have the arcane, you have the divine, and then you have key. Where you're channeling that energy from yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I like it too. Specifically for Bard, though. I like the... Oh, God, I already forgot what it was called. I just made a character for what it is, too. For my Bard Assassin.
Your Bard Assassin?
It's like the
the College of Shadows?
College of Shadows, I believe, is what it's called. And I love it because it is exactly the concept that I was going for and that we were talking about. The performer who performs in front of the dukes, in front of the lords and the ladies, gets in, is telling the jokes, is doing his performance of whatever kind, and then uses that for his subterfuge. He's a spy through and through. And then you have that with Bard, and
it's perfect for a political intrigue game with that has like a good amount of combat.
Oh, yeah.
Like the sessions that we went through with my political intrigue, I think that kind of character would have been amazing for just getting around, working the room, and doing their thing.
I agree completely. And some of the abilities that they get, if somebody dies within 30 feet of them, they can steal their shadow.
It's really unique.
And then they can wear that shadow and look like the person. And they get the surface memories of that person. To the point where if they were to come up against a random acquaintance of that person, they know enough about that person's daily life from that ability to be able to carry on a normal conversation.
Yeah.
Like close friends, kids, a spouse, something like that, probably wouldn't slip by.
They can get by on the surface.
Yeah, but walking through a party? Definitely.
Now, mixing that character with an assassin, though, that's a great
idea.
Exactly. Because they have so much synergy between the two classes. Or a thief. But I was thinking the assassin just because the assassin has all those abilities where they're trying to mimic someone's voice or mimic someone's gait. You know, watch them for a week in downtime to, like, try to impersonate them. I think that's awesome.
That and who is going to be expecting to have their husband or wife or whoever stab them in the back of the neck?
Definitely. It's
especially if you're in your own house completely randomly.
Caesar never expected it.
Yeah, no, and it happened like 26 times.
Right? At 2 Brute. But I think that it's a really cool... Like, the player wants to be a doppelganger.
But you don't want a changeling in your game.
Exactly. But we're running a little long, so...
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Why don't we wrap it up with some house cleaning. So everybody, thank you for listening. We do have our social media. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. Facebook, we are Cursed Dice Studios. Search us up, find the page. We post there on a regular basis. We also post on the Twitters at C Dice Studios.
Yes.
We also have a Patreon, and we have the website that is
CursedDiceStudios.weebly.com.
Yes. Which, if you go there, there's the blog. There is the games that we recommend to you.
Yes. Currently under works, yes. But I'll get up and I'll get to it.
Yep. And that page is all games that we have played, we've tried, we're passionate about, and that we want others to try. Yeah. It's growing, so it does have kind of the basics in there. Like, I assume that if you listen to us, you probably played D&D, and that's one of the first ones on there. But have you heard of Urban Shadows?
Have you ever actually picked up the book for Shadowrun?
It's heavy.
It's heavy. Also, and then you look at the other 30 books.
Oh, God, yeah, so And just to be transparent completely, is that we are Amazon associates, so when you go to those links, you would be getting those items from Amazon just as normal, except we get a small fee from Amazon for directing you that way. So it's a really nice relationship where we're able to share with everybody and a direct link because Amazon has great prices for games.
They do.
Also, hey, they kick us it back, so it supports the show. And also, sharing the show with people, getting it out there, share with your friends, family, hell, your enemies. It really does help us as we grow and we want to keep continuing this.
Blast it through a boombox in the middle of downtown.
Yeah.
Just this part.
Just this part. Also, we are going to be expanding out into iTunes and Google Play now that we have 5 episodes out. We've been waiting for our big open, and now we're going to put it out there and really try to push it.
We just needed at least a little bit of content to put out there, so.
To feel confident.
Yeah.
So, thank you again for listening, and we will catch you guys next week.